Welcome to Ask the Pastors, a segment of the West Hills podcast where you have the opportunity to ask your questions and receive biblically grounded, pastorally sensitive answers from our pastoral staff. My name is Brian. I'm your host and one of the pastors on staff. And today I'm joined by Pastor Thad.
Hey, everyone.
Today's question comes to us from Jake Mitchell, right? Jake submits this question. Mm-hmm. Jake has a couple points to his question, so we're going to start by reading it all in its submitted form. So number one, what did the Jews believe about the Messiah before Jesus? Number two, what do modern-day Jews believe about their Messiah? Do they or did they believe that the Messiah would / will be just a man? Or do they believe the Messiah will be God? And question three, how do modern-day Jews miss the Old Testament prophecies / law and how they were fulfilled in Jesus? It's a big question. It's a great one.
It is. It's a very, very big question. And I think even just where we are right now in our church's sermon series of going through the book of Leviticus and hearing these laws, that it would be a question that I think more than just Jake is asking is, well, what do the Jews, what did they believe about Jesus? What do they believe now? Why was Jesus so rejected mm-hmm. by them, or even partially accepted and then rejected?
Absolutely.
So yeah, well, all of these for me are really kind of closely related, even though Jake's kind of broken them out into three-ish questions. Most of the rejection of Jesus as a Messiah for and what we would call an Old Testament Jew, those who before Jesus and at the time of Jesus and now, a complete rejection of Jesus is along the similar lines as to why they still reject Jesus today. I also just say I do not claim to be an expert in all of Judaism, and even in some of my research I found varying viewpoints and even differences on how different sects of Judaism view Jesus and the Messiah and all of that. But first, I think big picture, the Jews did not accept Jesus as a Messiah for three reasons. One, believing that Jesus did not fulfill messianic prophecies. Secondly, that Jesus did not embody the personal qualifications of the Messiah. And thirdly, biblical verses that we as Christians would say refer to Jesus in Old Testament prophecies, they would say we mistranslate some of those. So with that first point, Jesus did not fulfill the messianic prophecies. Some of those go back to the building of the third temple, found in Ezekiel 37:26-28, that they expected Jesus was going to come and he was going to raise up this third temple. I shouldn't say Jesus, the Messiah was going to come and raise up this third temple, that the Messiah was going to be a political liberator for the Jewish nation. Another prophecy is found in Isaiah 43, with the prophecy of the gathering of all Jews back to the land of Israel, the messianic prophecy that all God's children, the children of Israel, will be gathered back together in the land of Israel. Isaiah chapter 2, the ushering in of world peace, the end of hatred, oppression, suffering, and disease, that it says, nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall man learn war anymore. And lastly, Zechariah 14:9, spread universal knowledge of God, of the God of Israel, which will unite humanity as one. It says that God will be the king over all the world on that day. God will be one and his name will be one. So that is just, you know, four messianic prophecies found in the Old Testament that someone adhering to Judaism either now or back during the time of Jesus would look at these and say, Jesus did not come and complete any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he could not be the Messiah. Therefore, we are still waiting for Messiah.
Well,
now, for us, we would look at these passages and we would see a foreshadowing of Jesus came as the Messiah, died on the cross, mm-hmm. providing a way for us to have
Isaiah
a relationship with God.
Suffering servant, yeah.
And looking forward, Jesus promises to do these things. The final temple, the gathering of all God's people, not just the Jews, the ushering in of complete peace, the defeat of evil and wickedness forever, and with Zechariah 14, the every nation, tongue, ethnicity will bow down and worship God as the one true God. So we would view those as Jesus is going to fulfill those prophecies where they were looking for a Messiah who fulfilled those prophecies in the moment of their time.
Sure.
So that's one reason Jews do not accept Jesus, that he didn't fulfill these prophecies. Second, Jesus didn't embody the personal qualifications of the Messiah. That the Messiah, Messiah would come as a prophet, that he would be the greatest prophet in history, second only to Moses. That's found in Isaiah 11:2, that they're looking for the Messiah to come as a prophet. They have a very specific image and knowledge of what a prophet should be and what a prophet does. And they would say, Jesus does not embody what a prophet does. They would say that Jesus wasn't a descendant of David that they were looking to. That according to Jewish sources, the Messiah will be born of human parents and possess normal physical attributes like other people. That he will not be a demigod. That they would view our interpretation of Jesus being fully God and fully man as incompatible, that the Messiah was going to come as a person, not as a God-man. Thirdly, even just Torah observance, that the Messiah will lead the Jewish people into full Torah observance, and that they would say, looking at this Christian New Testament, which they would not view as sacred scriptures, they would say that Jesus contradicts the Torah, states that its commandments are no longer applicable, like in John 9:14, that Jesus violates Shabbat, Sabbath, he doesn't observe it. And so they would say, like, yeah, there's no way that Jesus could be this Messiah because he doesn't embody what the Messiah is supposed to do. Not a descendant of David, doesn't observe the Torah, doesn't come as a prophet. And thirdly, that the biblical verses that we would say refer to Jesus are mistranslated. The major one being Isaiah 53, you mentioned that earlier, Brian, of Jesus coming as a suffering servant. And they would say, you Christians claim that Isaiah 53 refers to Jesus. And they would say, in actuality, Isaiah 53 follows the theme of Isaiah 52, describing exile and redemption of the Jewish people, that these prophecies are meant to refer to Israel, Israel's suffering, the Jewish people being bruised and crushed as sheep to the slaughter at the hands of the nations of the world, that they would say these descriptions used throughout the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament as we would call it, graphically describe the suffering of Jewish people, and that Isaiah 53 concludes that Jewish people are redeemed, that the nations will recognize and accept them as the rightful children of God, deserving of respect and power and authority, not as a future prophecy of Jesus coming and suffering on the cross.
Absolutely. I was mentioning before, even where we're at in the church calendar with Jesus' triumphal entry being celebrated, people thinking, man, this is the Messiah that we have been waiting for, finally come to free us and to be this conquering king, comes in on a donkey. Just not what was expected, not what they were looking for, but there was celebration. There was celebration, and ultimately, days before he was sent to the cross to die as the suffering servant, as Isaiah 53 talks about. It's sad for
it,
sure.
It is. And like you mentioned, like they hailed him in that moment of what we call Palm Sunday, is they thought
this Sunday,
like he was going to come as a military hero who is going to save them from Roman occupation, and that he was going to free them, expel their enemies from the land. And yet, at the same time, they turn, and the religious leaders at the time turn the people against Jesus and calling him a blasphemer, claiming to be God, and then demanding his crucifixion.
Yeah.
And some of that fits within. Like, they could not fathom, they rejected Jesus because it was inconceivable for them that God came down as a man and dwelt among them.
Yeah.
Because of their high view of God and who he is as holy, set apart, distinctly different from us, that the idea that God could come and be with them when so much of their religious culture and acts talks about the separation between God and man. And so it became a hindrance, or as the Apostle Paul talks about, it became a stumbling block for them, their rejection of Jesus.
Yeah.
I also think to bring it back to some of Jake's question in that second part, what do modern-day Jews believe about the Messiah, and do they believe the Messiah would be just a man, or do they believe he'd be God? And there's some division in Judaism, so two sects of it, not the only two, but a traditional Judaism, think Orthodox or conservative, versus a modern Judaism that would be more called the Reform branch of Judaism. So traditional Judaism has never viewed the Messiah as coming as a God-man, but only a man with unusual power from God that will manifest qualities of a prophet, priest, and king, that they have described the Messiah in a dual role of doing that. Mm-hmm. Second, he would, again, come as the descendant of King David, and he would rebuild the temple on its historical site. He would reinstitute the sacrificial system. So traditional Judaism, like, they are still waiting, looking for, longing for the Messiah to come to rebuild the temple so that they can continue the act of sacrifices to have a right relationship with God, as being able to pay for their sins. So there's one that they're looking for, a man, a savior, to come to do those things. On the other side, modern Judaism, the Reform branch, has reinterpreted the messianic hope that instead of a personal Messiah, they're looking for a messianic age that is brought through human progression of world leaders bringing out peace. So they're looking for a time of peace, as some of those prophecies talked about, that there is going to be in Isaiah chapter 2:4, that there is going to be an ushering of world peace, an end of hatred, an end of oppression, an end of suffering. And so that sect of Judaism, the modern Judaism, the Reform branch, they're looking for an age of peace. They're not looking for a personal individual to come to act as savior. They're looking for a time period of peace where there is no oppression, where there is no suffering.
Here on earth.
Here on earth now. And so that's where some of the even differences lie within different sects of Judaism as to what it is that they're looking for, whether they're looking for a physical person to rise up. And there's types of this throughout the Old Testament that we can look to as Christians and be like, yeah, this is we call them types. Moses acted as a type of Messiah. David acted as a type of Messiah, a savior, one who is brought up. And that's really what a correct reading of the Old Testament, of God's promise to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, of I'm going to send someone who will crush the head of the serpent. A question that the Jews should have been asking all along is, is this fill in the blank of who it is, religious leader at the time, the Messiah that has been promised by God, looking, longing, waiting for the fulfillment. And there is a sect of traditional Judaism that is still waiting and longing, that as male children are born, they're wondering, could the Messiah have been born today? And they're looking and waiting for that individual.
Yeah. So what would you say to the person that's wondering, how does the Jewish faith view who Jesus was? Just a good teacher?
Yeah.
Would that be the majority?
Maybe
not a good teacher?
Maybe not a good teacher. So there would be some.
But like that he actually existed?
Yeah, that he actually existed, that he was a real person. Even, you know, in Islam, like, they believe that Jesus came and was a good teacher. So they would say that, they would not say he's a good teacher. They would say that he came and he taught radical ideas about the Torah,
sure,
and interpretations of that he was in fact a false Messiah that came claiming. There's even, and as I was looking, they call them pseudo messiahs, those who came that they thought were individuals who could have been the Messiah, and that in the end they came and fell short of meeting what they would hold up as the standards for what the Messiah, who the Messiah is, what the Messiah will do, and so therefore they're still waiting and longing for them.
And I'd be curious to how a Jewish believer would view the death and resurrection of Jesus. Like, how can that be explained? You know, like, that's maybe they would discount the actual resurrection, or that he actually died.
Yeah.
I think that's a common.
Yeah, that's one
argument.
One argument for that they would discount it even happen. Yeah. There are some that would say, you know, God is powerful and he does these miracles, and so he could have done that. It wouldn't be the first time God did something miraculous in the Jewish life. But also that they don't, as I mentioned, they don't view our New Testament as holy scriptures.
Sure.
Truthfully, there are, maybe too strong a statement, but like, many have not even read the New Testament. They're unfamiliar with it. I think also a myth we can be tempted to believe that hinders us from even trying to start gospel conversations with Jewish friends, neighbors, coworkers, is the myth that they're all well versed in the Old Testament. Which is not true, because as I mentioned, there's two sects of Judaism, but a lot of Jewish people would say that they're not religious in any sense. They don't adhere to Judaism at all, but they themselves are just ethnic Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like Jake's part three here, how do modern day Jews miss the Old Testament prophecies and how they were fulfilled in Jesus? Kind of been spoken to already.
Yeah, I would say those who do know the Old Testament prophecies, like I said, not all are super well-versed in the Old Testament in general, that those who do know the Old Testament prophecies, they would look, and if they're coming from a traditional Judaism, like they're saying, like, yeah, you might be talking about Jesus, but he did not fulfill these prophecies. He's not built a third temple. He's not gathered all the Jews back into the land of Israel. There is no sense of peace going on whatsoever right now. There is not an acknowledgement that Yahweh is the one God of all things. And so a modern day Jew who adheres to Judaism would find these same objections and say, yeah, Jesus was not the fulfillment. Like I said, just because someone is Jewish does not mean they adhere to Judaism. And so the reason they reject or miss the prophecies is they do not believe that Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. And I'll add into, so what does that mean for us as Christians? How do we interact with Jewish people and individuals? And like I said, I think some of it is dispelling some of the myths we might be tempted to believe that they're all super well-versed in the Old Testament, and not let that be something that scares us mm-hmm. away. I think we should not just assume that all Jewish people are going to reject coming to church with us on Sunday if we invite them. We could be tempted to believe, like, hey, I may not be able to answer the questions they have. And frankly, I would say, like, that's a good thing to think. Mm-hmm. Like, we should come with a humble attitude that, like, I may not be able to answer every objection that a Jewish person has about the Christian faith. And yet, at the same time, one of the more helpful things we can do in our evangelism is to ask questions of people who are either religious or irreligious and say, hey, can you tell me what it is that you believe? Tell me what it is that you hold to. Instead of us always trying to come up with every answer to have a, when they ask this question, this is how I'm going to respond. And instead, lean on the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting in your heart. I don't think we remember often that Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. He promised, I'm going to send you the Helper and the Comforter, and that He is with us at all times. And when we're in those opportunities to share the gospel, we should be praying for the Holy Spirit's leading of our words, not relying on our own knowledge in that. And
that's good.
And I think we should be upfront with them, let them know, like, I'm a Christian, ask questions, share your testimony about how God has been powerful in your life and working. Yeah. And if they adhere to a sect of Judaism, any of the sects of Judaism, like, they believe in Yahweh, they believe in God. And so talking about God versus necessarily talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but God as a whole, Yahweh, use scripture. I think try hard to get them into the New Testament. Like I said, they've probably never read the New Testament, because most Jews who adhere to Judaism, they reject it. And so they've never even read it at all. And I think the same could be said of us. Like, if we want to talk to those who trust and believe in the Quran, like, we should probably be somewhat familiar with it if we're going to say, well, here's what the Quran says, but here's what the scriptures say, and be well-versed in it. And I think pray for God to soften, to remove blindness from their hearts, and to really lean on it. And I think in the getting them to read the New Testament, I would there's lots of resources out there that you can turn to, but look and find messianic passages in the Old Testament and find the fulfillment of it in the New Testament, and using that as a helpful guide of, like, hey, here is that messianic prophecy in the Old Testament that you say you believe and understand. Here's the fulfillment of it in the New Testament, to help make a connection in it.
Absolutely. Things that they're familiar with to, this is what the New Testament says, what I believe. Making that connection. It's so good. Well, Jake, thanks for the question. That's it for this week's episode of Ask the Pastors. Remember that you can submit your questions by visiting the info bar at West Hills, or by asking them online through our website at www.westhillsstl.org. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, hit that like button, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next week.